This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Rocky. How are you?
Good morning, Rocky.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're doing great. Must be fun for you to watch this team in the playoffs, to see what they did to Edmonton, and last night was, boy, that was a stressful game. I don't know how you're feeling this morning.
Well, you know, it is, and the way that these games are being produced on TV with the different camera angles, they're 100% better than I thought, and it was exciting. I mean, if you were on the edge of your seat, you needed a drink after that game, I'll tell you that.
Rocky, we're used to watching the Hawks in the playoffs with the expectation of winning the Stanley Cup. That was the one-goal mantra for so many years. How different were the expectations for you, from your perspective, going into this postseason, given the circumstances that they went in under?
Well, I think the, you know, I have to, first of all, applaud the league on how they approached, you know, that last game was March 11th. And you didn't know when and if the season could even come back again, and when will you do it? So for the league then to work with the Players Association, extend the collective bargaining agreement, come up with a plan collectively on return to play, then come up with a system how to do that, then to figure out your draft, and then to work around the pandemic and the most important thing is how to keep your players safe, and working with all that, and then all of a sudden you could be sitting in your living room watching these games. I didn't know what could happen, you know, and I'm as excited as any fan.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Every time I'm watching a game, my wife will look at me and say, "Wow, we're watching hockey in August." And it is an extraordinary time and just an amazing thing to see this tournament going on in August, at the date. It just doesn't feel like hockey weather.
Well, it doesn't, because we've been so conditioned that it's a winter sport. But, you know, sports is a form of entertainment, and it's a 12-month, you know, we want to be entertained for 12 months. And I think what we found out with this pandemic is that we are starved for fresh entertainment. And it doesn't matter if it's hockey in August, or if they could find a way to play baseball in the winter, you know, it's just the same idea. But I think that's the important thing is, you know, it doesn't have to be a winter sport, and who knows when the season's going to start.
Rocky, it's great to talk to you, and there's a lot to talk about the future of the Blackhawks. I think we see a lot of young players, and there's hope for that future. But let's go back. Let's go back 4 months. We have not talked to you since you made a move that got a lot of attention and surprised a lot of us. And I think you're not surprised probably to learn that it was a little controversial at the time. John McDonough was fired, and the Blackhawks took a step back and kind of hit reset organizationally. We have not talked to you since that decision was made. What drove that decision, in your words?
Well, first of all, I want to, you know, John had done a terrific job with the Hawks, so take nothing away from what he did. But after sitting back and working out of my home, I had time to reflect and think back and realize that we have to embrace change. Change is happening so quickly around us, and the question I asked is, was our organization set up to do that? And I just thought it was time to get in a different direction. And there's no one better to embrace change that I've worked with very closely as my son, Danny. Danny's 43. He's a perfect age. He has worked with the Hawks peripherally You might not have seen him, but he's been there. He's with the United Center, the community aspect. So he's worked with the Hawks. You haven't seen him, you know, front and center. So I thought it would be good to put him in there as an interim role, and put him in charge. Give him the support that he needs. Let him get him armed around the organization. Set up a set of values of what we want for this next president, and then let him head up the search. And I think that that's the thing. You want to put people in a position to succeed and not to micromanage them. And so he's firmly in that cockpit. And I give him all the support, and I'm looking forward to working closely with him in the future.
Did having Danny there help make that decision easier? Might you not have done that without him ready to step in?
No, I think that has a lot to do with it, because and I work with Danny in other businesses, our beverage business. Danny started working when my father was sick in 07, and so I've seen him grow as a businessman and an individual. So I have complete trust in him. I think that's absolutely right. It's not like you just pluck someone out of the air and you didn't know or didn't work with and didn't completely trust.
Rocky, he's done a great job, because the Hawks got to the playoffs after you made the move. So I think that when they expanded the field to 24, great work by the new president.
He got in the playoffs before he even played a game.
Do you plan to remove the interim label, or I guess what would go into that decision? Because it looks like, in just hearing him talk and seeing the round, he made the rounds media-wise, he seems very comfortable in that role.
Well, I think he is. And I think that, he and I will work together. I don't see that him being permanently in that position, only because he's involved with all our other businesses. And I would hate to see him just not contribute to those other businesses and just do with the Hawks. So I think going forward, we'll see. But we're not there yet. Let's get through the playoffs, and then we can start worrying about it.
Rocky, as we watch these playoffs and we watch a great performance from Corey Crawford, for instance, we wonder, what does the future hold? How will he be evaluated? Do we know yet what the salary cap's going to be? Do you know, do you have a loose plan in order here in terms of your restricted free agents? We know there's a couple of important ones, and certainly free agency with Corey. How do you envision all of this coming together, and what are all the other owners saying about that?
Well, I think it's just on a specific basis, you know, what the Hawks can do. I mean, that's Stan, and Stan is in charge, and he'll be working on that. I think as far as, you know, what you're talking about, the other owners, is that cap is going to be flat for a while. So, again, how do you embrace change? What's your organization going to look like? I think that the Hawks are very, very fortunate to have the youngest team. Of the 24 teams that went to the postseason, we are the youngest team, and people don't realize that. And I think that gives the Hawks a very, very good position, because we're going to have a flat cap for a while. But the important thing is we're going to have 6 years of labor peace. And that's something that's going to be exciting. Plus, that the U.S. TV rights are coming up in a couple of years too. So you're going to see a lot of different things going on. But as far as, you know, specifically what's going to go on with this free agent or this signing or that, that's in Stan's bailiwick.
Yeah, you mentioned Stan Bowman, Rocky, and I think that when you hit reset by firing John McDonough, there was a sense, or maybe some curiosity over whether or not that would also include the head of your hockey operations, Stan Bowman. And then earlier this month, Danny, in some of those interviews, gave Stan a vote of confidence and said that he would be back. How involved were you in that evaluation, and why is bringing Stan Bowman back better than a new voice at the top of hockey ops?
Well, it's that that is really Danny's call. I'm here to support Danny. His arms are on, his hands are on the steering wheel. And as I said, we don't run our businesses by micromanaging and doing other people's job. You put them in a position and you do their job. If they don't do the job, you find some people that will. And I don't think people realize when many times that people criticize Stan Bowman in the past, you know, after 10, after 13, after 15, we had a, because of the hard salary cap, you had to trade half your team and rebuild it again. But granted, there's a couple of years where you weren't in the playoffs, but that's, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And also those years after we won those three cups, we were drafting last. So, you know, so you were drafting 30th or for the years we weren't in there, you're drafting 28th, 29th. And then so just recently we've had, you know, finally, a high draft choice. And obviously we had with Kirby Dach, you could get a player like that in the draft. But I think what you want to do is you just don't want to see peaks and valleys. What we would like to see the Hawks is consistently be a competitor. You're not going to win the Stanley Cup every year, but you certainly can be competitive every year and put yourself in that position.
Key, presumably, when a new president is hired, if Danny is kind of operating on two levels here, you will give him the same sort of leeway to make decisions with the people underneath him. Is the next president going to determine the future of the general manager, of the coach, etc.?
Well, I think that's all to be determined on how you want to set up the organization, what is it going to look like, and what kind of person, you know, you're going to put in that position. But I promise you one thing, whoever that next person is not going to just be a hockey retread.
You know, Rocky, you've been through so much transition already. It began with firing John, and I know that could not have been an easy decision because of what he was responsible for, contributed to in terms of the three cups in 10 years, the decade of dominance. When you look forward, how would you describe what the next phase will include? Because you've got decisions to make about Corey Crawford from an organizational standpoint. He's a free agent. You've got a decision, as you're pointing out, about your team president. And maybe, there has been confidence in Jeremy Colleton, but is he the coach that is going to win the next championship? Is this a transitional phase in Blackhawks history? Is this how would you characterize what is next?
I would characterize it as, what does the organization want to look like coming out of this pandemic? And I don't think it's transitional. I think we're headed in the right direction. Danny's keeping, you know, the train on the tracks. And I think the next person we bring in is going to have to follow these same kind of values that have been developed, and see how that he or she fits into that position. And so I don't see it as transitional as some people might look at it.
I remember when you took over, Rocky, and boy, you know, a whirlwind of success since then. But when you took over, you came in and you talked about the idea that you were working for your customers, and you referred to the fans as the customers. And I'm just curious, do you still hold that, and how do you monitor what the customer thinks?
Well, I think that obviously you monitor them, you know, if they show up. And since we don't have any fans in there, you have to say, you know, what are our ratings? What are our social media postings? Who's following us? And one of the big things I think the Blackhawks as an organization has to do is broaden their fan base. And we had a lot of people, obviously, after these cups, that all of a sudden the Blackhawks became relevant, because at the time, David, as you know, you and I talked about, the Hawks were not relevant in 07. They were yesterday's newspaper, so to speak. And but now this next phase is, we got to broaden that fan base, and we got to reach people in all different ages. We just can't do, you know, 50-year-old white men living on the North Shore. We got to bring in that 18 to 30-year-old fan, and we're doing that in all different ways. We're doing it what we can do in the community. We're doing it on outreaching. We're doing it in every way we can. So I think that this is yes, the customer is the fan is your customer, and winning is very, very important. But it's also is, how do you keep them engaged? And one way we're keeping them engaged is just by playing these games.
You know, Rocky, you are his father, so you're going to be a little bit biased. We understand that. But when you talk about what Danny has to offer and what mark he may leave in terms of whether it's an interim period of time or whether he becomes a permanent president, what do you think he offers the most? What don't we know about Danny Wirtz that we're going to learn? Because a lot of people, he looks familiar. Oh, yeah, I know about him. But they haven't seen him around maybe the United Center as much. What will we see in terms of his leadership style and personality?
I think what you're going to see is he's a good listener, but he's really good is empowering his people and believes on bottom-up, not top-down management. And so he wants to get, you know, that these, instead of calling them department heads, there's really leaders in each of those departments. And so what I think you're going to see is he will empower those individuals that head up different parts of the organization. And you also see if they're not doing their job, you'll see that they'll help find people that will do their job.
Great stuff, Rocky. Thank you so much. It's been a ton of fun to watch the Blackhawks in the playoffs. The Edmonton series was glorious, and the fact that we still have a game on Tuesday is very uplifting. You must be pleased with everything that's happened.
Thank you, Rocky.
I am. I'm excited. It's 9:30 on tomorrow night, so I can't wait for it to happen. And I'll tell you one thing. I think the camaraderie and talking to Danny, because he's up in the bubble, the camaraderie between the players and all the 52 people that are up there, it's really good. So it's a way to galvanize the organization, too, on a very positive basis.
That's
great,
stuff.
Rocky. Thank you, Rocky.
Take care.
All right. Good talking with you, gentlemen. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.